Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back to Uncomfortable, the podcast where we explore things that we often avoid, the questions that make us squirm, and the truths that stretch us. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and today we're diving into prayer. Not just any prayer, but intercession. And you know, Vince, what makes prayer intercession? You were telling me just before we started all these recordings tonight that your son made a statement that, you know, not all prayer is intercession, but all intercession is prayer. I love that.
Yes, it's amazing.
That is beautiful. I think that's incredible that your son said that. And here's the thing. A lot of times when we pray, we assume we're interceding for something. But the reality is intercession is very specific. When you talk to your students about prayer, where do those conversations normally go in the classroom?
I think it depends. Like for some of it, it's they're asking for something specific about prayer. But I know when it comes to like intercession and things like that, we were having this conversation like with my son today. He's reading this book that has to do with it. And he's starting to get to understand what is the difference between just praying and what it means to intercede. It's a lot more there's this legality to it and some of the lingo, but it also is, it has to do with stepping in between two parties, right? One who isn't able sometimes to do for themselves at that time, and reaching out to God on their behalf and saying, you know, maybe protect them or heal them or whatever it may be. But it's definitely, it is challenging for some of us because one, it requires a sensitivity to listen to the Lord, to listen for him to say to do it. The other thing is sometimes it requires us to not think about ourselves.
I think that's really the area that we've got to be at, Vince, because think about it. We've all known someone that's lost somebody. We all know someone who's, whether it's a husband, a wife, a loved one, or they've been through a terrible incident in their life, some sort of tragedy or traumatic event. And it's so core shaking that it's hard for them to stand, let alone think straight, right? Now, everyone's different with the way they deal with grief or these different situations. But the thing is, it's just like you said, intercession is about standing in the gap for people who can't pray for themselves. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Just to your point about not being about you, Abraham, in Genesis 18, began to pray over Sodom, a city of sin. And it wasn't only because of the city. It was really because of the possibility of there being men of God in the city, especially his nephew Lot. It was a slightly selfish prayer. But he didn't only leave it to his nephew. He said, God, if there is only this many. Then he got down to 10, right? So he was basically trying to say, Lord, would you really destroy if there was 10 people there? Well, God ended up sending his angels and clearing out the righteous from the city. But the reality is, Abraham stood in the gap, right? He interceded for those who didn't even know they needed intercession. And many of us need to be like Abraham or even Paul, where like Paul, he would pray over the churches he couldn't see in person because he knew they were going through certain things because of reports he'd received, and he would begin to stand in the gap between them and the Lord, and began to pray out day and night, night and day, asking God to intervene and began to bring righteousness within those churches. You know, so intercession is more than just, I hope things go better. It's more than a cliche, I'll be praying for you. You know, because we've all had that friend that says, I'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pray? There's a difference between saying you're going to pray and then praying. You know, it's an intentional act of love that moves beyond your self-interest. It's intentional. And intentionality is uncomfortable.
That's true. So again, I'll dive a little deeper. When you called me before, I didn't have my notes up. So when it comes to intercession, now, obviously prayer is communication with God, right? It's a conversation meant to be. Sometimes it's laying out your requests before him, but it's confessing the word over you. It's worshiping the Lord, right? And over the situations, all that stuff. Intercession, it's a specific form of prayer where you, like you had said, and I think I had mentioned, you're standing in the gap for someone else. You're praying on behalf of an individual, families, communities, or even over nations, right? It also reflects Christ's ministry as he continually intercedes for us before the Father. So, I mean, what is it? Paul says it in Timothy. Wait, here it is. There it is. Sorry, I had to move my notes. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. 1 Timothy 2:1. Right? So we are to make intercession for various things. Sometimes it's for people in our family. Some people that hear this may be praying for lost loved ones. Some may be praying for those who are needing healing. Some might be praying for those who have left the church and left God, and you're praying for them to come home, the prodigals, so to speak. So that is all intercession. Some people have only ever heard of intercession as these crazy, really long, engaged prayers where you're praying for hours and hours and hours at a time. And although that is true and that is a thing, that's not the only time that you're interceding. So it goes to, it can be short prayers. It doesn't have to be really long, very wordy prayers.
You know, I think this is where it gets real. Intercessory prayer is uncomfortable. Now, here's the why. Because it asks you to do something that's beyond your natural instinct. Now, for instance, it asks you to be empathetic, not judgmental. It requires time and attention, even when you're busy in your life, whether it be work, family, children, newborn baby, new house, it doesn't matter, right? It challenges your pride because it's about others and not you. You know what? Sometimes praying for someone can actually be painful because maybe you're praying for someone that hurt you. Maybe they injured you in some way, emotionally, mentally, physically, but the Lord's called you to begin to pray and intercede for that person. Or maybe it's someone you don't even understand why you're praying for them. That's where intercession becomes intentional and transformational. It's not just for the person you're praying for, but it's also for you. Intercessory prayer teaches us patience, humility, endurance, and it often stretches us to grow as spiritually in ways that normal prayer can't. Because when we give ourselves over to intercessory prayer and we know Holy Spirit, He will begin to drop in little bite-sized nuggets for you to begin to pray and intercede on for other people in ways that you never could when you are completely consumed in yourself, your pride, and not allowing Him to direct your prayers.
Yeah, I want to touch a little bit more on some of the things that you were talking about a personal part and a personal challenge, right? So, and as you're saying it, I'm looking at some of this stuff. Some of the things that God works on with you as you are making intercession or as you become what we tend to label as an intercessor, people that often pray for others in that manner, is humility, like you had said, it does require you to humble yourself because it's not your agenda, it's not your thing. It's definitely not about you. You had mentioned empathy or compassion. One of the other ones, two of the other ones that it does is it challenges you to remain persistent. It also challenges you on, here's a big one. I don't know if you mentioned this one, holiness.
Oh, careful
And
now.
to have a purity, right?
I
You
think
got to
that.
stay aligned with the word of God. A lot of times when you're interceding for people, you're having to pray the word directly over them in their situation.
I think I just heard someone's toes get stepped on.
That's possible. It might have been my own toes. You never know.
Man, so how do we do it, Vince? How do we intercede for others? How do we move from comfortable, me-centered prayers to this kind of bold, uncomfortable intercession? Well, let's give our listeners a couple practical steps. What do you think?
I guess we could do that. That sounds good.
Well, first of all, identify the person or situation you're going to stand in the gap for. And sometimes it might not be someone that you want to pray for.
Ooh, come on now. Now you're hurting
Oh,
feelings.
I know. Be specific in your prayers. God isn't impressed with vagueness. Name the need, name the struggle. Pray consistently. Intercession isn't a one-time text message to God. It's persistent, sometimes long-term. I've got a story about that. There's a particular person that I've prayed for off and on over the years, and I would stop praying the moment things would get great, and then I'd have to start praying again. And I noticed a pattern that every time things would get better, I'd just stop praying. Well, perfect example of it's a long-term call to prayer. Because if you notice that you need to continuously pray for that person, why are you stopping? Just because things somehow feel a little easier in the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's long-term. Many times I think it's long-term. Involve scripture. Let God's word guide your prayers. Psalms 91, Isaiah 54, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 5 are just some examples. Another thing is don't pray your will. If you pray your will instead of God's will, that's like praying witchcraft.
That's a form of
It
manipulation.
is. It's manipulation. And God does not stand for that. And he will not bless and honor that prayer. So do not manipulate. Only pray that God's will over their life. And pray scripture over their life. Release control. Ooh, that goes right back to not manipulating, right? Release control.
Oh,
This is
man, that's
often,
just mean.
I know this is often the hardest part. We have to trust God with our outcome
Is.
while you faithfully, firmly pray. Don't give up. Stand strong. Be bold. Be courageous. And release it to the King of Kings. When we try to hold that to ourselves and we try to be in full control, we remove ourselves from the ability to receive freely from the King of Kings. But when we fully release it to the Lord, we have an open invitation for the Holy Spirit to pour into us and begin to sanctify and cleanse us to where we can hear Him clearly and pray the words as He speaks them to us.
So I'd like to step into something that's it might be kind of uncomfortable for some people because they might take it as more of a, oh, that's that spiritual hooey fooey stuff. And it's really not, right? Kirk was laying out some practical things. I want to lay out like what an example, potential example session, intercessory prayer session might look like, right? So first of all, one thing that we need to understand is that sometimes you'll actually begin to feel the heart of God. You had mentioned this, Kirk, about the fact that sometimes you can like feel someone's burden, right? And he may put a burden on you that you're like, oh my goodness, why am I feeling this? And God may share with you, this is how my heart feels about this situation. So let's look at this again, even more practical, breaking it down. So you might start, it might look like this. Psalm 100 talks about work giving worship and thanksgiving to the Lord. So if you're planning a formal session, a time of intercession for someone or something, not just like informally and it just happens, but if you're planning a formal time, whether it's by yourself or with other people, start with a time of worship and a time of thanksgiving before the Lord. Make sure that you are confessing any sins that you have. Repent, be washed clean, purify your heart before the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and be cleansed in your heart. Plead the blood of Jesus over you before you do it. Invite Holy Spirit to come in and guide the prayer and the time and the situation. Don't just go willy-nilly and crazy. Be submitted to Holy Spirit's guidance. Next, pray the word. Like we had both have said this already. Use the word as your foundation. You had mentioned Psalm 91. I think even sometimes Psalm 23, Psalm 24, you know, just make sure you're praying the word and being consistent in it. Be specific in what your requests are for that situation. Listen for God's response. Remember, intercession, although it is a series of prayer and you're standing in the gap for other people, it's not a monologue. It's not where you're getting up here, I'm going to give myself a nice long speech. It's just going to call it a prayer. It's a dialogue between you and Holy Spirit. And then make sure that you are closing by standing in faith and give praise and honor to God for it being done. Here's an example, a short example of a prayer like that, right? And I love this. It says, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we lift up those who are weary, broken, and lost. We ask that Holy Spirit would bring healing and comfort and renewal. Strengthen, maybe you're talking about leaders. Strengthen leaders to walk in wisdom, protect families, and restore unity. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Something to that effect. I mean, that's not it's just kind of a mishmash of some things to bring it together as a potential example, as a start or even a finish too. What say you?
Well, another perfect example of, you know, praying beyond yourself is I've known someone all of my life, and that particular person had a loved one that was openly gay in the homosexual lifestyle. And over the years, they kept trying to witness to him, kept trying to preach to him. Of course, they were praying for them. But there was one day where the Holy Spirit impressed on them, stop preaching and love. And so they began to love on this person. Unconditional love, no matter how ugly the person was, no matter how rude they were. And they just begin just to pray for them in the background, interceding for their salvation. Well, during COVID, this particular person gave their life to Christ. And so the intercessory prayer paid off. But it was something that was done in the background without anyone being seen, without anyone being heard, and it led to someone receiving salvation, receiving eternal life. So
that's the other aspect. We've got to lay down pride. We can't be prideful, man. That's,
I mean, because a lot of times we think to ourselves, well, I've got to go, I've got to be righteous. I've got to tell them that they're in sin. You know what? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is pretty good at doing his job. you know, I have a feeling that they know it's sin. And you don't have to harp on it, you know, 20 times to Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's not a Southern saying at all, is it?
Well, you know, we're from the South. What can I say? At least I am. I don't know hey, what I'm they consider you Louisiana boys.
Further south than you are.
Oh,
we used to consider Mississippi up north.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Well, anyway.
So intercession is often quiet, unseen work, but it moves hearts, consciousness, and shifts the very course of our lives.
Right.
You know, so it can affect the way people think in ways that we don't know because Holy Spirit gets involved. He begins to give silent whispers and help direct the paths. And people do have to be open. But that call, you know, is there saying, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. If we're faithful to do our part, it opens that door.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it can be very uncomfortable, especially in the beginning. And once you get used to doing it and you've yielded yourself to the Lord to do so, it becomes more, it's always fulfilling, but you get more used to it. So you begin to understand how things happen and function. So I mean, I would leave it at that aspect, right? And if you are interested in this, I mean, not only could you reach out to us, but I would also say, find someone in your church that is known for that engages in that. Just have a conversation with them, or go talk to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm curious. I'll give you a couple of authors to look up, and I know we're about to wrap up, Kirk. But Gordon Lindsay has a book on intercessory prayer. I think it's called Intercessory Prayer, or might be Prayer That Moves Mountains. I don't remember. And then someone by the name of Dutch Sheets, Dutch Sheets, Sheets. He's got a book called Intercessory Prayer. He's also got one called The Watchman Prayer, and I think there's one. It's like a beginner's guide to prayer as well. So he's written a lot on prayer and intercession and things of that nature. So he's got stuff out there. Gordon Lindsay has some things out there, more than just that one I mentioned. And I think there's another author, and I can't remember him off the top of my head, but go look those guys up. Talk to your pastors. Some churches that may be people that may be hearing this, maybe your church doesn't really believe in it so much. And you know what? That's their decision. That's their choice. But if you feel like God's calling you to do that, if you feel like that's something on your life that God's calling you to do, go look it up and go learn it, right? Like you had mentioned earlier, Kirk, and it might have been in our last episode that we did, was that go get educated in that area, right?
Oh,
What
yeah.
was that exactly you said? Do you remember what it was about that?
Well, the word tells us we're supposed to be prepared in season and out of season. Study self approved. And it's our responsibility to be co-partners, participants within our faith. A lot of times, and I know this is very uncomfortable, and we've been there, we know people that have been there, but a lot of times you like to put things on auto drive, just an automatic, and you don't want to think about it. But that's not what Jesus tells us to do. He tells us that we're supposed to be active participants. He actually tells us in the Word, faith without works is dead. So that we're supposed to actually put our faith to work. It's not that the works causes us to get salvation, but our salvation should lead us to works, being active in our faith. So not just doing things, but also being active within our faith. And another little tidbit, which I know will make a lot of people very uncomfortable, is, the Jewish way of looking at understanding something and knowing it is not just having head knowledge. In our culture, if we memorize it and we can say it off the top of our head, we're like, I know that. Well, in the Jewish culture, they'd say you don't know it until you put it to work in your life, until it actually affects the way you live your life every day. So I would
That's good.
challenge you that as you move forward, don't just roller coaster it. Don't just wait for them to flip the switch and you just go on coast, right? Coast through the ride, so to speak. Become a co-participant. Become active. Put afterburners on your ride and get to where you need to be in a record time so that when you get to the Father, you can say, Lord, look, I multiplied what you gave me. I
Right.
multiplied it. That's what we're supposed to do, right? The parable of the talents. We're not supposed to say, oh, I buried it. I just got the one. We're supposed to say, no, I multiplied it. I doubled what you gave me. I got a good
Right.
return, Lord. Here it is. So I challenge you guys this week, be uncomfortable. Allow yourself to get out of the middle and let God guide and direct your prayers. Like we said, intercession is often quiet, unseen work. It'll move hearts, circumstances, and it can very much shift the lives. Shift people's lives. Just like I told you about that person that I know that gave his life to the Lord. His life was shifted because of prayer. You never know by being obedient whose life you're going to affect. Maybe it's your child, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's someone in politics. You don't know. But remember, you don't pray your will. You pray the scripture over them. I don't care if you don't like the person. You don't pray your will over them. You pray scripture over them. Yeah. Pray God's perfect will over them, because it's not your will that matters. It's God's will in their life. Yep. Any final words that you want to say, Vince, before we wrap this up?
And, you know, I know for both of us, this is a really important area of our lives. And so I'm just grateful that we're finally getting to really talk about it and kind of dig into it. And hopefully we'll get a little bit more into it as we come into the future here. With this, I know this is probably airing sometime in November, and it would be irresponsible to not say, especially when it comes to intercession, make sure you're being thankful. Be thankful to the Lord that even, again, going back to humility, be thankful that he's even choosing to use you to do so.
Hey, there you go, my friend. So here's the challenge for the week, guys. Think of someone whose needs are heavy, whose life is messy, and whose struggles aren't your responsibility. Now, that's going to be a hard one for some people, because that's the key. Whose responsibilities are not yours. Because that means it's not your family member. It's someone that's not in your family circle, right? Not your best friend. And then what do? Pray for them. Don't just hope, intercede. Step into the uncomfortable place of selfless prayer and watch how it challenges both you and transforms them.
Sounds like a tough challenge.
There you go. That's a challenge for you and me too, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for joining me here on Uncomfortable Today. And Vince and I welcome you back again next week for another Uncomfortable. If this episode challenged you or you enjoyed it, please share it with somebody else and drop us a line. Uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would love to hear from you there. You know, Vince, real quick before we wrap it completely up, you and I need to do a show for everybody that talks about some of our vision. Probably one of the next episodes, the next few episodes, you and I need to record like a vision casting of some of the things that we have in our foresight. You know, it's maybe months or maybe about a year out. But I think some of our listeners might really want to hear some of that. And just wanted to give a little preview about one of the conversations that's coming up, because you and I have already talked about the fact that we need to do that.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Guys, until next time, stay uncomfortable, stay faithful, and keep on praying.
Oh, yeah, stay uncomfortable.